Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to New Life Worship Center. Today, we're actually in the middle of a series. This is our third part. We've talked about how Jesus is our refuge. Jesus is our rescuer. And now this morning, we're going to speak for a few minutes from this thought. We have a restorer. Jesus is our restorer. The concept of restoration is widely used in the Old Testament, especially prophetically in regard to the nation of Israel. And every time that the children of Israel were sent into captivity because of their disobedience, God promised to restore their fortunes. And he said, if only they'll repent and turn back to me with all their heart, he would do that. He would restore their fortunes. He would restore all that they had lost. And this has happened numerous times in Israel's history in Scripture. But thankfully, God also offers restoration to individuals, both in Scripture, but also to us here in this world today. And so I want us to take a look at that. We're going to go to first of all, to a very familiar portion of Scripture, Psalm 23. And of course, David writes this. He says in verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd." I like that. I like the word "is" because that's present tense. The Lord is, but then also the word "my." He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." We have a personal shepherd, someone that is our refuge, someone that is our rescuer, and this morning, someone that is a restorer as well. And he says, "Because he is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." There won't be needs in my life because God will supply our needs. And then in verse 2, he says that he, the Lord, makes me lie down in green pastures. I like that phrase, makes me. You know, there's a lot of personalities that don't want to stop, that don't take the time to smell the roses, if you will. People that are workaholics. And so sometimes God has to make us stop. He has to make us lie down in green pastures. But then he said he also leads me beside quiet or by still waters. And then the point in verse 3 that I really love is he restores my soul. What do you have this morning that needs restoring? Is it your health? Is it your wealth? Is it a relationship? Is it a job? What do you need restored to your life this morning? The real need in all of our lives is that the Lord would restore our very souls, the depths of our being. That's what we really need restoring in our lives today. And God is more than willing to do that. I want us to go a little further in the book of Psalms and to chapter 51. This is where David is praying a great prayer of forgiveness for the sin that he committed with Bathsheba. We're going to pick up at verse number 10. David is in the midst of this prayer, and he says, "Create in me a pure heart," or a clean heart, "O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Don't cast me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me." And here's verse 12. "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." I love this. He says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." You know, in this pandemic right now, the enemy would love to make us doubt God's love for us. He would want us to doubt God's concern about us and his care of us. But David says, "I want you to restore to me the joy of my salvation." And so this morning, I want us to ask the Lord to do that. If you've lost your joy, in fact, Paul asked the question in one of his epistles. He says, "What's happened to all of your joy? You started out so strong in the Lord, so good, but now it looks like you've lost your joy." And so David prays, "Lord, restore that to me." Maybe you need that this morning. We're going to pray about that and deal with that a little bit later, that God will literally restore the joy of your salvation to you. And then in Lamentations chapter 5, verse 21, Jeremiah prays this. He says, "Restore us to yourself." So we went from an individual in David and now back to a group mentality where Jeremiah is praying not only for himself, but he's praying for his nation, the people of his country. And he says, Father, restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may return and then renew our days as of old. You know, so many times we think, oh man, I just missed the good old days, you know? Missed the good old days. Man, I remember what it was like before COVID. I remember how life seemed to be so much easier. But you know what? I bet we were complaining just as much before COVID as we are now. It's just human nature. Whatever situation we're in, we always want it to be better, don't we? Oh, it could be so much better. If only this would happen. If only that would happen. If only God would come through. If only blah, blah, blah. And we if only ourselves to death. And that's why we talked last year and again this year about walking in faith, not fear. Walking in peace, not worry. Walking in trust, not the what ifs of our imaginations. And so he says, restore to me this joy of your salvation. And Jeremiah prays, restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may return. Jeremiah is saying, Lord, forgive us for what we've done. You sent us into captivity. Now we're asking for your forgiveness. Let us return to our homeland. Restore us, Lord, to our land, the land that you gave to our forefathers, and renew our days as it was in the days of old, as it was in the days of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, those heirs of the promise. Restore us to the good old days. And we long for that as well today. Lord, just restore us to the pre-pandemic way of life. Lord, that we will be more appreciative of what we had back then than we are now. So restore us as in days of old. Renew us. And I want us to go to a tiny book in the Old Testament. It's the first of the minor prophets. It's the book of Hosea. And I want us to go to Hosea chapter number 6. Hosea chapter number 6. And remember, we're talking about God restoring things to us in our lives. And so Hosea 6, beginning with verse number 1. And again, it's speaking about he's praying for his people, the nation of Israel. They're in captivity again. And so he says to them and he prays, come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces. He's really impacted our nation, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will also bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. And on the third days, he will what? He will restore us. That's what we're talking about today. Why? So that we may live in his presence. Lord, restore us to yourself. Restore us to your presence. Restore us so that we can live, dwell, remain in your presence at all times. And then verse 3, let us acknowledge the Lord. Man, that needs to take place in our nation. There needs to be an acknowledgement on the part of the citizenry of this nation that God is God, that he is our Lord. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he, Jesus, is going to appear. I got a magazine in recently, Israel My Glory, and it says, Jesus is coming, but when? We don't know when. We don't know the day, nor the hour, or the time that he's coming back. But as surely as the sun rises every morning, Jesus one day is going to appear. He is coming for his church, for his people. Let's go a little bit further in the Old Testament to the book of Zechariah, the book of Zechariah, chapter number 9, and let's pick up at verse number 9. This is actually a prophetic word by Zechariah about the coming of Jesus, the Messiah, the coming of Zion's King. So Zechariah 9 and verse 9, let's begin. It says this, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a colt, on a donkey, the foal of a donkey. He says, I will take away the chariots from Ephraim, those that have come to attack Israel, the chariots that came against them. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. And I love this. He, Jesus, will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule, the rule of Christ, will extend from sea to sea and from the river, the Euphrates River, to the ends of the earth. And then he says in verse 11, as for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress, O prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. Let's break this down just a little bit. He says, as for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you. In the Old Testament, there was a blood covenant. It was the killing of an animal, a lamb, a ram, a goat, an ox, whatever, to sacrifice to the Lord. It was a blood covenant. But the blood of those animals could never wipe out sin. It only rolled it away. We'll talk about that a little bit later as well. But there was that blood covenant in the Old Testament. Now, in the New Testament, there's also a blood covenant, but this time it's the blood of Jesus Christ, the sinless Lamb of God. And so he says, as for you, because of the blood covenant of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. He said, I want to restore you to a place of freedom. I don't want you in bondage or in jail anymore to this. I'm going to free your prisoners from the waterless pit. It reminds me of two people in Scripture, one being Joseph, that before his brothers sold him into slavery into Egypt, they placed him in a pit. You remember that story? And when the caravan came by on its way to Egypt, they took him out of the pit and they sold him to those people that were going through. And the other person it reminds me of is Jeremiah. When Jeremiah proclaimed the word of the Lord that the nation of Israel was going to go into captivity, they got so upset with him that he was beaten, he was put in stocks, and at another time he was put down into the bottom of a waterless well. And all it was down there was just muck and mire and mud, and he just kind of sunk down into that. And he was rescued from that. And so that's what Zechariah is referring to here. He says, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. I'll take you out of that place that you find yourself in. And then he says in verse 12, return to your fortress. Let's get back to our roots. Let's get back to the foundation of our faith. He says, O prisoners of hope, return to your fortress. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. God wants to restore everything that has been taken from us. Everything that the enemy of our soul has stolen from us, God wants to restore to us all of that stuff. Stuff that we've already talked about and other things that we're going to get to in a minute as well. And a key here that I really like is that God will restore twice as much to us as what's been taken away. And we have precedent for that in Scripture with Job, the story of Job. At the end of Job's life, his testing, his trials that he went through, the Bible says that at the end of Job, God blessed him with twice as much as he had before in every category. He was, whatever he had before the trial, it was doubled after the trial. God is a God of restoration, and he gives you not just what you had, but he says, I want to give you twice as much as what you had before. I love that. Well, let's go now to the New Testament for just a moment. And I want to go to the book of Acts, chapter number 3. And we're going to pick up in just a moment at verse number 16. This chapter is where Peter and John are on the way to the temple to worship God. And they meet this, in the Bible's language, a crippled man from birth, a crippled beggar. And so Peter and John stop. They pray with him. They pray for him. And he's instantly healed. And so let's pick up at verse number 16 of the story. And Peter tells the crowd, he says, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you see and you know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you all can see. Man, I love that. You know, Peter prays this great prayer. This guy is instantly healed, and he takes no credit for himself. He says, guys, this is all because of Jesus. It's through faith in the name of Jesus that this guy that you see, and you've seen him for years here begging, and you know him, you know that he's been this way from birth. Well, it's because of Jesus that he stands before you completely healed, as you all can see. Verse 17, then he says, now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, and he's talking about in the crucifixion of Jesus. He says in verse 18, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ, his Messiah, would suffer. All the prophets talked about that. Verse 19, they said, repent then, or Peter says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. I love this. The prophetic word from the prophets was that Christ the Messiah would come and that he would have to suffer a lot of things. Well, the ultimate was the death on the cross. So Peter tells these people that see this lame man healed. He says, so repent. He says, turn to God and your sins will be wiped out. How can they be wiped out? Well, because Jesus paid the price. That blood covenant with Christ, now the sins are not just rolled over for another year. Sins are wiped out because of the blood covenant with Jesus. The blood of animals just rolled it away for a year, but the blood of Christ, it's wiped out. So he says, come to him so that your sins may be wiped out, and I love this, so that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Anybody need refreshing this morning? I think we do, don't we? We need a time of refreshing. The Bible says, those that refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Let's don't forget that. So many times we as humans, we want. God, rescue me. God, be my refuge. God, be my restorer. God, whatever. But there's times when you and I need to be a refuge for somebody. We need to be a rescuer for somebody. And we need to be a restorer for somebody. And in this case, we need to be a refresher for somebody. Don't just refresh me, Lord, but refresh me so that I can refresh somebody else. Amen? And so we need that in our world today. So many people that we talk to, that you talk to, that they just need a touch. They don't know what it is they need. They need a touch from Jesus. They need a time of refreshing from the Lord. That's what we need, the restoring of our soul, the restoring of the joy of just knowing Jesus. And so then let's go a little bit further. Not only times of refreshing, but verse 20 says, and that he may send the Christ, the Messiah, who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He, Jesus, must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to what? To restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. I love that. There's a day, a major day of restoration that's coming. We don't get the full extent yet, but there's coming a day when it's all going to be restored. We're going to get back to Garden of Eden-like bliss and just blessing from God. And it's going to be after Jesus comes and sets up his kingdom on this earth. He must remain in heaven, Jesus will, until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. At the wedding in Cana, the performance of Jesus' first miracle, Mary, the mother of Jesus, said, whatever he tells you to do, you do it. And so Jesus said, fill up these jars with water. And Jesus turned the water into wine, his first miracle that took place on this planet through Christ. And so he says, this word here says, listen to everything that Jesus tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people. Verse 24, indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many as have spoken, have foretold these days, and you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on earth are going to be blessed. I love that. It was God's plan all along that every kindred and tongue and tribe and nation would be blessed through Father Abraham, that the blessing of God, the promises, the covenants that have been made, that it would bless every nation on earth potentially, every person of every nation on earth potentially. But it has to be something that we choose. It has to be something that we desire. He says, you, those of you that will come to Christ and know Christ, you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Praise God. Now in Deuteronomy chapter 30, going back to the Old Testament for a moment, a couple of verses there, Moses says this in verses 15 and 16. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. So that's the if statement. That's the if part, if we'll do that. Then, look at this. Then, if you do that, you will live and you'll increase. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. Moses said, I'm setting before you life and prosperity, or you can choose death and destruction. He says, life and prosperity will come to you, prosperity will come to you, if you are obedient to the Lord, if you obey his commandments. But if you don't, if you choose not to obey the Lord and not follow him, then you're going to experience death and destruction. So there's two choices. He said, I'm setting before you life and prosperity or death and destruction. You choose. It sounds like a really simple choice, doesn't it? Okay, I'll take life and prosperity, right? Yeah. No, I don't want to die. I don't want to be destroyed. So yeah, I'll take life and prosperity. Well, he goes further. Skip down to verse 19 and 20. Same chapter, Deuteronomy 30. Moses continues. This day, the Bible says in another place, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Have you not received Christ yet as Savior? Today's the day for you. This day, Moses says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life. Man, I love that. The Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Once again, he's saying, guys, today, right now, I'm giving you this choice, life and death, okay? Blessings and curses. Give me life and blessings, not death and curses, right? It's so easy. So choose life, he says, so that you may live, you and your children. And just love God. Listen for his voice. Hold fast to him, because the Lord is your life. Your life is not what you might think it is. It's not about your job. It's not about even family. It's not even about how much you have or what you have or all the stuff that we strive for. But the Lord is your life. The Lord is my life. He should be. And so he says, choose him today. Choose him, and you and your children will live and enjoy your lives. We're going to go back to the New Testament for a moment. Way back to the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 5. And Peter gives us some just great, great words of wisdom here. Peter says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. God, the Bible says, God opposes the proud. God hates the proud. Pride will bring destruction. At some point, there'll be a fall and there'll be destruction along for the proud person. But he says, if you humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, he will lift you up in due time, in due season. Cast all your anxiety, cast all your care upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. God really cares for you. And then Peter says, be self-controlled and alert. In this time of pandemic, this time of catastrophe on our planet right now, be self-controlled. Don't freak out. Don't give in to your emotions, but just be steady, be balanced, be faithful, be in the Word, be in prayer, be faithful to God's house. Love God, love one another, be there for one another. Be self-controlled, but also be alert. Why? Because your enemy, the devil, I'm not an enemy, you're not an enemy. Nobody on this planet is our enemy. The devil is our enemy. Now, he may be using people around you or near you or in your life right now and in our world and our nation. The enemy is using people, but those people are not our enemy. It's the enemy himself, the devil himself, who is the real enemy. And he says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, you notice Peter didn't say that the devil is a roaring lion. He said he masquerades like one. See, the devil's a deceiver. Devil has no power over life and death. Jesus holds the keys to death, to hell, to the grave. Amen? The devil doesn't have that anymore. Jesus holds those things. And so the enemy of our soul is roaring, and he's trying to scare us and freak us out, but he's looking for someone to devour. And what's the remedy for that? Verse 9 tells us, resist him. Resist the devil, standing firm in the faith. King James says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen? Use the name of Jesus. Don't go to the devil using your name or somebody else's name. You go to the devil and do battle with him using the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, the enemy must flee. Resist the devil, standing firm in your faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. So many times we feel like the Lone Ranger, don't we? We feel like, oh, woe to me. Woe to me. Business is bad. You know, things are tough. Things are hard, you know. But all over the world right now, people are undergoing the same kinds of stresses and worries and fears and troubles and whatever. We're all in this together. We really are. It's a planet thing. It's not just a city or a county or a state or a nation. No, it's a planet thing right now. And the enemy of our souls, the devil himself, is the one that's at the core of all this junk. But what the enemy means for bad, God says, I'm going to turn around for good, and I'm going to restore. I'm going to restore at such time. And Jesus is remaining in heaven until God says it's time to restore everything. Amen? And so let's just wait. Let's be patient. Resist the enemy. Stand firm in your faith, because everyone throughout the world is going through this junk with us right now. Verse 10, and the God of all grace, I love that, the God of all grace, all unmerited favor, stuff that we could never earn, we don't deserve it, but God just gives us all of this grace, the God of all grace, he gives it to us, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while. Guys, there's the caveat that God gives us. This is not forever. This is not forever. It's going to last for a season, but seasons come and go, right? Let's hope it's not a summer season for us, because that's longer than our winter season, right? So, Lord, don't give me the summer season version of this. Give me the winter version, the Florida winter version. And so the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory in Christ, after we've suffered for a little while, will himself, God himself, will restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. That's God's promise to us. That after this season that we're in, he says, God himself is going to come and he's going to restore you. And what did we read earlier? Twice as much as we had before. God's a giver. With God, it's always more. It's always more. God is more than enough. He says, your eyes have never seen, your ears have never heard, it's never entered your wildest imaginations, the things that God has prepared for those of us that love him. Amen? God's a giver. God will himself restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. I love it. And I want to close with this. Let's go back to the tiny book of Joel. Let's go to the book of Joel, chapter number 2, and we're going to pick up at verse number 23. Joel chapter 2 and verse number 23. I love this. I love this. He says, be glad, O people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains in righteousness. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains as before. They were an agricultural society, and rain was so important. And he says, God's going to give you the rains that you need to sustain your crops, to provide food for your families. God's going to give you the rains, both the autumn rains, but also the spring rains. He's going to give you rains in their season. Verse 24, the threshing floors will be filled with grain. Once again, you're going to have an abundant harvest. The threshing floors are going to be filled with grain, and the vats are going to overflow with new wine and oil. All of these things were signs of prosperity. The grain, the threshing floors being filled with grain, and then the wine and the oil. The wine and the oil were especially for the wealthy. And so he says, your vats are going to overflow once again. The grain is going to be abundant. The new wine and the oil, your vats are going to overflow. God is going to restore you to your land. He's going to restore your fortunes. What you've lost is going to come back. And he says this really explicitly. Look at verse 25. He says, I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locust and the young locust, the other locusts and the locust swarm. Now, in the King James Version, it says the cankerworm. He says, I will restore to you all the years that the cankerworm has eaten away from you. Now, these pictures that are vivid to an agricultural society, what a locust swarm can do to your crops, what the cankerworm can do to your crops, it's a type of destruction. And he's saying that the devil himself, the enemy of our soul that we talked about in 1 Peter, the devil is that cankerworm. The devil is that locust swarm. And he's come to destroy, to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10 says that's the devil's job. He's always done that. He's doing that right now. And he will always do that until he's thrown into the lake of fire. He's come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. God wants to restore all things. I will restore to you all the years that the locust, the cankerworm, that the enemy has stolen from you, my great army that I sent among you. Verse 26, you will have plenty to eat until you are full. I love that. Don't you like to eat? Don't you like a good meal? You know, I'm a slow eater. We go to a restaurant and they close at 2:00 every day. And the owner will come by and say, Basil, you know, you need to speed it up here. We close at 2:00. You know, he picks at me. But you will have plenty to eat until you're full. Being from South Louisiana, I love my jambalaya. I love my gumbo. Boudin sausage, whatever. You know, we love all that stuff. We just got back from New Orleans recently, bought our homemade Italian sausage from one of the LeBlanc brothers. And so plenty to eat until you're full, you know. And then he says, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God. You'll praise God for the plenty that he's blessed you with, the grain that you have, the new wine, the oil that he just told us about. He says, you're going to rejoice. You're going to thank God. You're going to praise him for that because you're going to have plenty to eat and drink, and you'll be full. And then because he said, it's the Lord who has worked wonders for you. Guys, let's never forget where the blessings come from. David said, my help comes from the Lord. He said, I will look to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help really comes from the Lord. You can look north, south, east, west, but your help comes from the Lord. And we need to understand that. He has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be shamed, God says. Then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. I say it all the time. There's no God above God. There's no God below him. God, our God, is God alone. There is no other. You will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed. And then I love this. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood, fire, billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he closes with this. I love it. And everyone and anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What do we need this morning? We need the salvation of our God to come. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, today is that day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Let's pray. Father, this morning, I just ask you to touch us. Lord, it's been a little bit lengthy this morning, but Lord, your word to us is so important. And Father, right now, for anyone that doesn't know you as their Savior, but they've got a hunger, they've got a desire to know you, today's the day. Father, come into every heart that calls out to you this morning. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As we call out to you this morning, wherever you might be, just call on the name of Jesus. He said, if we confess our sins, he said, I'll be faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So, Father, come in right now into every heart, into every life. Wash us, forgive us, cleanse us from any and every sin, and draw us into a relationship with you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, move in a powerful way that none would be lost. May the Holy Spirit draw people right now. For unless the Spirit of God draws them, they can't come. And so, Holy Spirit, just draw right now. Those that are watching, those that are listening, God, move in a powerful way. Lord, save the lost. Lord, bring healing and health to their bodies right now. Take away fears, take away worries, take away the stresses and the distresses of life. Lord, fill people with your peace. And Lord, for those that maybe have known you before and maybe they've strayed away, Lord, draw them back. David said, restore to me that joy of your salvation. Do that for folks maybe that have kind of wandered away and maybe lost their compass. Lord, bring them back. Bring them back. Restore the joy of their salvation. Lord, in all these cases, God, we believe you to do it. We give you praise. We give you glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. We love you so much. Be sure and tune in again next week. We'll have another in this series for you. And just be safe out there. Take care. God bless you.